well, desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Feel like I have a lot of ground I want to try to cover. So I desire that you, Lord, would help us. So there's a passage of Scripture over in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, that I'd like for us to maybe look at as a text this morning. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. And Isaiah chapter 5 begins with an account of a vineyard being established. And the vineyard is like a parable in the Old Testament. It's a story that's told to illustrate a point. And the vineyard is made and everything possible is done with the anticipation of being able to receive what vineyards produce, and that's good grapes. And at the end, what happened was it brought forth wild grapes. And I don't know, around here we don't have wild grapes so much. Maybe there's some of the, we call them grapevines, out in the woods sometimes, but we have some things that's we call like wild strawberries. Y'all ever seen any of those? How big are those strawberries? I mean, you got to look close to see a wild strawberry. if it's big, it might be as big as a pencil eraser. It'd take a lot of them to make a strawberry pie. Just saying. I don't even know if they taste like what we call strawberries. But there's something out there called wild strawberries. And this vineyard brought forth wild grapes. So in my mind, it was little grapes. Probably didn't taste like what he had in mind either. So it ended up being a disaster. And the support and all of the benefits that were and the energy that was being poured into this vineyard to make it what it was should have been and establishing all of that was withdrawn. And he goes down and gives some other accounts here in this chapter, but we get down to the 20th verse, and he says here, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So he pronounces consequence. He says, woe. Whatever you think woe means, maybe we won't get too far in that definition, but it's a consequence of it's a negative result. None of us here want woe. I don't. I'd rather hear the word blessing attached with my name than woe. But he said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Now, initially, it would seem impossible for us to be able to call good evil and evil good. I mean, that's such a paradox. They're completely opposite. I don't think any of us here would disagree with that. Good and evil, that's like right and wrong. It's two different directions. It's not even on the same page. One of them's going this way and one's going that way. And he says, woe to somebody that would call evil good and good evil. And then as I was thinking about that, I consider that if we want to do something that's evil, then it would only stand to reason that if we could get others to think that it was good, maybe we'd have some support and approval in doing evil if other people thought it was good. Now, we went to it was kind of a housewarming thing for, I believe it was Brother Stanley. He moved in there in Veneta when he came to be the pastor at Four Corners. And He's not here to defend himself, but they had everybody in the congregation brought some pies, and they were all delicious pies, except one. One pie was, it was a pie crust, all right, and had meringue on the top, but the filling was, it was mashed potatoes. Not that it would hurt anybody, but it's certainly not what you expected in sitting in a pie crust. So, you know, if I took a bite of mashed potato pie, and it wasn't sweet potatoes, it was just plain old, like, red-skinned potatoes. If I took a bite of that and smacked my lips and bragged on it being so good for so long, somebody else would take a piece. You know, there was several pieces of that pie taken. And I didn't hear anybody complaining about it because they wanted somebody else to take a bite of that pie too. You know, one of the easiest, I'm not saying that mashed potato pie is evil, okay? Please don't go spread that around. But I'm just here to say that if we want to do something that's evil, then one of the tactics would be to have other people call it good, right? It sounds reasonable, doesn't it? And I'm thinking now about a book that we read probably at some point to our children. It was read to me, I know, as a child, and it's been around a long time. In fact, the story behind the book has been around a lot longer than that. And just like this story in the scripture is talked about a vineyard that turned out bad, and so there was, you know, it's like an allegory. It's like a parable. It's something that's told to illustrate a point. This book is something that was written to illustrate a point and to help children understand, to teach them a life lesson. And the name of the book is The Emperor's New Clothes. Anybody ever heard that book? And if you know anything about it, it's pretty absurd, right? And this emperor had a craving for new and fancy and elaborate clothing. And there was a thirst and a lust, if you will, for just clothes and more clothes. And these people came along that professed to be weavers of cloth. This is the setting for this is many, many years ago. They professed to be weavers. And they could weave some exquisite, I believe is one of the words that's used in the book, exquisite cloth and make some exquisite clothes for the emperor. Well, anything that sounds like exquisite sounds like something he would want. So he hired them to do this for him. And I don't remember, I didn't get the book out, or nor did I look online and try to read it. I just remember the basic storyline. And I believe there could be many, maybe, lessons learned from that, but pride and arrogance and all of this was portrayed in a manner that for children to get a hold of we don't want to be like that, right? The book has got a moral undertone. We need more of those in our world today. We need books that teach some moral guiding principles instead of something that would teach something else. Okay? So the exquisite cloth just so happened to be invisible. We know the story. And so when the clothes got finished, everybody that was in their right mind could just bragged on them. They thought they were incredible. They were exquisite. So they dressed the emperor up in his invisible clothes, and he went marching through town to display them to everybody. And he ended up making a fool out of himself. That's where the book ends, isn't it? So all of us looking on says, well, that's just a little children's book. It's kind of, that's kind of silly. I don't know if I get all that. Well, I'm going to tell you, we live in an age today where there are many things that are evil that's being called good, and good things that's being called evil. And if we allow that kind of thing to distort our perceptions in the world that we live in, we're going to end up being the fool. We're going to end up at the end of life being the fool. We're going to end up being the one that our support for the vineyard, we're supposed to be a vineyard for the Lord, all of that's going to be withdrawn. And God is not going to be there for us. In fact, He's going to be our judge. And we're going to feel like we've got the short end of the stick, so to speak. So this morning, our burden is that we would understand some of the things in this world, that our world around us today is calling evil that's good, and good things that are called evil. It's been around, this tactic of the enemy has been around for a very long time. And I'd like to go now to Genesis, the third chapter, and like to read this, the first account that I know of where good was called evil. In Genesis chapter 3 and begin 1 with verse 1, it says, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, Serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We may eat. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now here, what is the good point? The good point is that mankind would be obedient to God's instruction. You know, I grew up with a grandfather in my life that said, that read us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And he read that to us every time we were at his house for family worship. And he read it to us so much that we believed it. We should have believed it without him having to read it every time. But I guess he felt like he wanted to impress on us. The good thing here is to be obedient to the Lord. And this devil comes along and he says, and the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." you won't really die. He immediately called good evil, all right? "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So not only will you not die, but this thing that is good is really evil. It's with keeping you from being able to have the depth and the breadth of his understanding that you really deserve. You can be like God. You can know good from evil. And in fact, the evil part of being obedient is it's so restrictive that you can experience something that's good out of it. Now, did y'all understand all of that? That's just the way the devil presents it to us today. He says that evil is good. He says that disobedience is good. Disobedience to the law of God is good. That's what the devil says. And then he says, and when you're disobedient to the Lord, there'll be something good come out of that. But if you try to be good and obedient, it's evil, it's confining, it's restricting. You won't be able to know right from wrong and all this. That's what the devil said to Eve. You see? And then he said, and then in the verse 6 it says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise," all of the good reasons to do something wrong. All of the good reasons. It'll make me wise. I'll have an understanding that, well, we haven't ever had that before. It's got to be good. I'll be like God. You know, we'll have some answers of our own instead of just asking him all the questions. It sounds good, doesn't it? Well, apparently it sounded good enough for her to eat it and be disobedient. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband and gave him the same song and dance. And he ate it too. So now both of them's guilty. Both of them have taken the evil and tried to make something good out of it. And they took the good of being obedient to God and they said, that's wrong. Oh, that's so restrictive. We can't do that any longer. I want to be free to eat of everything that's in the garden. And that got us to where we're at today. However many thousand years it is, and days and months and weeks and all of that, down to the day we live in. And you know, the same devil is alive and well today. And he has a propaganda machine like no one else. And he has devices and things that come along that wants to tell us from little on up to be obedient is a bad thing. To do what mom and dad says is a bad thing. Even though the scripture plainly says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. As long as you live in the house with mom and dad, you're still a child. I don't care how big and overgrown you are. You're still a child. I'd like to go now to Exodus chapter 21. We're going to talk about some things that you don't hear talked about in church services, at least not our church services, very often. I desire your prayers that I can talk fast enough to get through it all and get to the finish line. And maybe if there's something you don't need to understand, you won't understand it. You understand? Let's go to Exodus, the 21st chapter, and the 22nd verse. We have an issue. It's on the ballot today for us in Missouri to vote on. We hear propaganda all around us about reproductive rights, and it's wrong. All right? I'm going to read you a couple verses. Exodus 21 and chapter 20 and verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge determined. It's wrong to cause a little child to be terminated before it's born. I'd like to go to, we use the word abortion. To cause a child to be aborted is against God's law. And it's been that way for a long time. If you don't know, Exodus was written a long time ago. It was part of the first five books of the Bible we call the Pentateuch. Some of us do. I don't use that word very often. In the following verses I'm going to read, one is prophetic and one is actual. In other words, one is a prophecy of what would happen and one is something that is an actual happening. And they're examples of the most barbaric thing that mankind has done to their enemies. I'd like to go to 2 Kings, the 8th chapter, and I'd like to read the 12th verse, 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 12. It says here, and Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answers, because I know the evil that thou wilt do with the children of Israel. Those strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children and rip up their woman with child. That's talking about today what our world is trying to say is good when it's really evil. I'd like to go to 2 Kings chapter 15. That was prophetic. Now I'm going to read you the actual account. In 2 Kings chapter 15 and verse 16, it says, then Menahem smote Tifa and all that were therein and the coast thereof. That's an actual happening. thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him, therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with child he ripped up. Awful. It's called abortion. It's wrong in God's eyes. Now I'd like to go to another point. But today, we're told that abortion is reproductive rights. I'm going to tell you that women that choose this right in our world today will be ripped up in their emotions the rest of their life. You can write that down somewhere in a book. Circle it with red letter or with a red circle. That's what's going to happen. It's calling evil good and good evil. It's rampant in our world today, and Lord help us to take the stand that we ought to stand. In the beginning, you remember that God made man, and then he gave him a wife. Last Sunday, we talked about the permanency of marriage. I believe that with all of my heart. But God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. I'd like to go to Leviticus, the 20th chapter, and read the 13th verse. Leviticus, chapter 20, and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Not upon somebody else. Their blood will be upon them. It's your fault. That's a choice you make. And if you make that choice and you want to call that evil good because you think it will fulfill something, I'm going to tell you, your blood is going to be on your own hands. You're going to find yourself at the end in a serious place with the Lord. I'd like to go to Romans, the first chapter. The Apostle Paul, I believe, was referring to not only this, but the principle that was laid down in the beginning. And I want us to read a few verses here. You know, the Apostle Paul was dealing... Is it any wonder that we have to deal with it today? If Moses, that wrote the book of Leviticus, was dealing with this, and Paul was dealing with it in the age that he lived in, is it any wonder that we have to deal with it today, of calling this evil good and calling the good of being a one man and one woman for life, calling that bad? Have you ever been in a conversation and somebody asks you how many children you have and you say, you tell them and they say, all with the same spouse? Like it's bad? That's calling good evil. And you want to take them by the ears and bump their head on the wall because you're the one that's wrong, not me. Let's go to Romans, the first chapter, and read the 21st verse beginning. It says, because that when they knew God, they had an opportunity to know God for themselves, to actually get an understanding. It says, but when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They were not willing to be obedient, like Adam and Eve were not willing to be obedient, and they chose to do evil and think that that was good. He says, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and thought that they knew better and trusted this sneaky snake to tell them something that was good when he ended up crawling on his belly and eating dirt. But became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. If we choose to call evil good and good evil, in the end, we're going to be a fool. and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship the and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. I don't know what you think about the word vile, but it's something we want to stay away from. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, this is Leviticus, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It is not convenient. It's not according to God's plan. He didn't design us to function that way. It's evil. And if we ever come to the place we're willing to call it good, we're going to be a fool too. I can't do it. I can't vote for it. And I can't support it. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. There's a whole bunch of inventing evil things today. It even says disobedient to parents. What do you know? That's the thing that my grandfather wanted to instill. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's good. Remember it. If you do something different than that, that's bad. That's evil. To recompense to their error, which was meet. Let's go, where would that say that? Verse 27. It says, that recompense of their error, which was meet. What's that mean to you? You know, the consequence of evil can be very unpleasant in this life. And to come up before God in the end and Him say to you, thou fool, that's awful. You know how we get there? Call evil good and good evil. I can't be part of that. Mankind in our world today, I said, inventors of evil things, have invented so many things that deviate from God's plan of Adam and Eve. If it had happened in the Old Testament times, I believe it would have been named out. But men's hearts have been continually on evil things. We'll read that verse before we're done. And because men's hearts are on evil continually, and figuring out how to pass this over, we have all of these things out in the world called trends. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's evil. It's because people are imagining evil things and they're trying to call it good and equitable. We have to be equitable in all of those things. I'm telling you, it's foolish to go down a path to call something that's evil good. In Exodus 22 and 19, more improper behavior. And it won't be long And this will be promoted like all of the trans and non-binary and all that other stuff that we have to deal with today. But this will be promoted too. And Moses, remember, Moses is the one writing this, and he's the one that had to deal with it. And God told him to write it down. Exodus 22 and 19, it says very plainly, "Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death." That's evil. It's not good. In Exodus or Deuteronomy 27 and 21, it says, "Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen." It's evil. Don't even think about calling it okay. It's evil. Remember, we said in the beginning, God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam, Eve, and Ethel. He just made Adam and Eve. If he'd wanted them to have two, he would have made two. In Deuteronomy 27 and 22 and 23, it said, "Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen." Call evil, evil. Don't ever call it good. And the 23rd verse says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen." We're talking about evil stuff this morning. And people all around us want to diminish it. They want to call it good. They want to call it healthy. They want to call, I don't know what all they want to call it, but they don't want to call it evil like it is. We can't approve of it. We can't condone it. When it happens, we got to blow the whistle. We got to be willing to take a stand against it. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, this is part of the Ten Commandments. He says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Don't do it. It's evil. Adultery is where at least one of the parties has a spouse. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, let's turn over there in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says here, "Flee fornication." You know what flee means? That's not the little bug that jumps. This means to get away from it. It says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." This is talking about a act between people that don't have a spouse. That's sin. It's evil. Stay away from it. In Matthew 5, verse 28, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. We hear a lot of people referring to the Sermon on the Mount and thinking that it's the epitome of Jesus' message to the world, and I believe it is. Let's go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 28. It says, here, plain and simple, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." It's sin. Pornography fits in here. Don't give allowance for it. Don't pet it. Don't allow it to be part of your life and or anybody's life you have control over. Be willing to call it out for what it is. It's evil. Don't let it be called good. Don't let it be called healthy or anything. It's not. You let this thing go in your life or in some situation you have control over, and we come to the end and God's going to point his finger at us and say, "Thou fool, you shouldn't have let it do happen that way." Lord, help us all, because this can come close. The enemy has so much apparatus to put this in our life today. And it's evil. We cannot allow evil to be called good in our world today, in our lives. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in the 3rd verse, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness, pornography, and all of those things, or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as become a saint." Lord, help us to be sanctified fully and completely and get this rubbish not where it's not even named once among us. You want to have power with God in the world that we live in, we need to be cleaned up and we need to call evil, evil, and never call evil good. There are so many people that want to justify looking and they want somebody else to sympathize with them. I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it at least partially today. I worked with a man that brought something that was inappropriate. It was on a calendar. Put it in my work area. I took it off the wall, throwed it in the trash can, and the man come by and wanted to know who throwed it in. Asked if I did it, and I said, yes, I did. And he said, you shouldn't bother other people's stuff. And I said, if it's yours, take it home with you. I said, I'm not going to work where that stuff's hanging up. And then he started down this road of God made women beautiful and we ought to be able to look at them. And I said, you know what? You got two girls, not much younger than me. I said, if I had your daughter's picture dressed like those women hanging on the side of my toolbox, what would you think about that? That's somebody's little girls that's hanging on the side of that calendar over there. And that calendar disappeared and it never showed up. And if you call that guy today, he would say he was my friend. Lord, help us to be a friend to the world and never call evil good. Lord, help us. We've got to be strong in the world that we live in. That stuff is all around us and they're trying to inundate us and crush us down. And everybody around us thinks it's so good and so wonderful. And I'm going to tell you, we'll be called a fool if we allow it in our lives. Lord, help us. Men, be men. Be strong. You women, be strong. Don't allow this. Don't pet it. Don't let it come along in any shape or form. Call it for what it is. All uncleanness, this scripture said in Ephesians 5. We got all of this gender dysphoria and transgender and all that stuff. It's included in this verse. All uncleanness. It's wicked. It's evil. In Genesis, the 6th chapter is a story, part of the story at least, of the flood. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. We'll turn over there. It said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Look at how much time had elapsed when he said that. Not very much, was it? This is only page 6 in my Bible. Chapter 6 of Genesis. And God said, men's hearts are only on imagination. It's on imagination continually. What about today? What about today? Everywhere we turn, evil is being called good in some shape, form, or fashion. I want to read. You know what happened at the flood? God destroyed mankind, all except Noah. God destroyed mankind. And then he promised not to do it again by water. Well, let's read Matthew, the 24th chapter. This will be the last verse that I read to you today. Matthew chapter 24, in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You want to know when the end is coming? When the imagination of man is great. And every imagination, or the wickedness of man is great. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You don't want to know when Jesus is coming back? When the conditions that Noah lived in are duplicated. How close do you think we are to that? You know, another scripture I believe talks about, well, maybe it's not a scripture, maybe I'm confused there, but the Lord, I don't want the Lord to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah or to Noah's generation because he didn't bring judgment. You know where judgment, you know where right thinking needs to start? In the church. We got to call evil, evil, and good, good. We cannot allow ourselves to be sympathetic. You know, right now we have a ballot on the box in our judgment, or in our election. And I don't mean to make this a political message, but I'm kind of wound up this morning. I have a ballot in our box, on our ticket in the state of Missouri that wants to legalize sports betting. You know the good that comes out of that? $400 million gets to go to our schools. Really? So we're going to call something evil good by supporting school children. So we can indoctrinate them so we can, to get them to think that evil is good. So we can put something in the libraries that distorts and messes with their brain. And so we can have some kind of class that teaches them that they can be whatever they want to be, including, you know what I'm talking about. It's called calling evil good. Lord, help us to vote like our life depends on it. Our life does depend on it. I cannot vote for something that would introduce something that's wicked. And I don't care how much good propaganda, reproductive rights is not good. Gambling is not good. Calling evil good will put you on the side of the losers in the end. Lord, help us. You pray for me? You know, I'm not in some little bubble all by myself. I have to live to what I preach. And I want to, by the grace of God. I don't want to call evil good or good evil. You pray for me.